listening to Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live, a podcast exclusively for high school sports in Arkansas. Here are your hosts, Nate Olson and Kyle Sutherland.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on episode 27 of Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live. I'm Kyle Sutherland, alongside the baseball guru, Kevin Bohannon. We appreciate you tuning in and joining us once again. And Kevin, I'm going to try to stay positive throughout this show. I mean, I'm always happy to be on here, don't get me wrong, but I'm quite devastated about the Masters results. Look, I like Scottie Scheffler and everything. I think he's a great story, a great guy, but my boy Rory was so close to getting it, but just couldn't quite get it done. You know, did a really good job on Sunday to shoot 8 under and then eventually finish, I believe it was 7 under when he hit that last shot on 18. But I'm going to try to stay positive throughout this, but I'm definitely ready to talk some baseball.
Yeah, Masters Sunday has always been a big deal to me, and especially during Tiger's run that he made, 97, 2000, we all know the story. But it's funny because I got on a plane to fly up to St. Louis today for some business, and I just remembered this is the fourth Masters Sunday that I've gotten on a plane to go somewhere. So I've ended up watching the Masters final round from an airport, believe it or not. But we've got some weather coming in this week. Hopefully the weather doesn't get too bad with our baseball schedule, because we got some really good games.
That's what I was going to bring up. I'm sure Jared and I will talk about this in the next segment too. We were very blessed tonight. That's how I led off with my softball rankings, was we were very blessed with some great weather. I was able to catch the Nashville-Benton softball game at the end, the nightcap of the Benton tournament on Saturday night. Just absolutely gorgeous. It was pretty cold there by the time the sun went down. But overall, the weather for once did not really make a difference, but we've got a lot of rain, as you said, coming in. Thursday is pretty much the only day that it's not going to be nasty, but are the fields going to even be above water at that point? So that's what remains to be seen there. But that's, like you said, all we can really hope for is the best. And we'll hop right into it talking about, I know you're up in St. Louis, you want to get settled there. And so we'll get right in to talking about 1A as we always do, starting from the bottom and going to the top. And Kevin, Norfolk, they are the story of this week in Class 1A. We talked about them last week, about them really being hot this entire year. And what you've continuously said about them is the main point that you do need to point out is that they're in an extremely tough conference. Well, they upset the number one team in Izzard County 6-3. They're now 13-3 on the season. They've won 10 in a row. And they've taken the role of the Party Crashers, which I believe you actually gave them that name, if I'm not mistaken. I'll let you get into that. But still got work to do. Yeah, and they've still got work to do. They're third in the conference at the moment. So there is still, but there's still a little bit of season left. I know that we got about a month left of the big classes, but the smaller classes only have a couple of weeks left. And so that's the main headline of the week, along with Mark Tree. They continue to run through their conference, currently at 6-0, and then Ouachita, another team that we discussed pretty much at length last week. I know, so Caden Fulmer hit two home runs in a dominating performance in a 25-2 win over Blevins. And his sister, just right across campus, Maddie, I believe she's only a freshman, she pitched a perfect game. So pretty nice week, I would say, for the Fulmer household there. Definitely got some proud parents. I was able to talk to their mom a little bit on Facebook after Maddie had pitched the perfect game to get a few stats there. She was obviously very proud and excited. And so those three things right there for Norfolk, Mark Tree, Ouachita, those are three teams that are really riding high in Class 1A right now.
Yeah, Ouachita, it's really funny because they've played 17 ball games. You've got some 1A teams that have played three. Coach Nail loads his schedule up. He wants to play any classification. It doesn't matter. They traveled up to Mills the other day and beat the Mills Comets, which hurts me a little bit because I'm alumni from Mills, but that's a different story. We were a lot better back then. They're playing really well. They beat Blevins to make them 2-0 in conference. And then you look at what Mark Tree's done. A lot of attention is not being paid to the northeastern part of the state because they didn't do anything last year. It was Region 2 and Region 3 that really – made their way through the 1A playoffs last year, especially with it being an all-conference final with Izzard County and Biola last year. Well, that's the 2-1A, and this year you've got three teams. Izzard County, who's going to be number one still. Yeah, they lost, but their whole body of work just says we're number one right now. West Side Grish Ferry is right there behind them. But yeah, the North Fork Panthers. I got to talk to Coach Ethan Davis, and this is his first year as a coach. And you got to give it to him because they have taken on that moniker of the Party Crashers. I wrote about it in the rankings one day because they just kept winning. And I said on Around the Horn on Drive Time the other day, I said, if anybody can do it right now, it's North Fork because they're playing as hot as they are. They went out and proved me smart, which is kind of scary. I get one right every now and then, I guess, like we all do. So they've won 10 in a row, 11 of their last 12. They're just playing out of their minds right now. And in that game against, they've won 10 in a row, 12 out of their last 13. In that game the other night, July Stone, he led the way with the strongest outing of the year. He went the distance. He struck out 10, zero walks. That's big for 1A baseball. Corey Johns came up two clutch hits. They were singles. He had two RBIs both times, so he got four RBIs on the night. You've got to love what you're seeing out of North Fork, and that conference is going to come right down to the wire. It would not surprise me if all three of those teams end up reaching the state tournament.
And then in Class 2A, here's the storylines there. McCrory and Carlisle, they battle for the 2A6 crown. Of course, that's weather permitting. I guess that's the only time I'm going to say this because, I mean, pretty much anything that we talk about is going to be weather permitting this week. Then last Saturday, the defending champion Woodlawn, they fell 16-15 in the thrilling game against Camden Harmony Grove, who continues to play outstanding. Bradley Lon, how do you pronounce his last name? Bradley, I know he's an SAU commit or signee, one of the two.
Lonius.
Yeah, okay, Lonius. So it's like it sounds. You know, Lonius. You know how I am with names, so I definitely wanted to make sure and ask you about that before I butchered it. But Bradley Lonius. I screw it up. Had two home runs in that game against the Bears, and then also another big headline that we'll start off with. We'll focus on these three. So McCrory, Carlisle for the 2A6 crown, then Woodlawn over Camden Harmony Grove, and then Mansfield. They've been an improving team. I know that you've talked about them being one of those outside looking in teams for the Super 7 rankings. So we'll start with those three headlines right there.
Yeah, it'll start with Mansfield. They've won five in a row, and that's all five conference games. So they're 12-4 overall in the year. They're going to win that conference. I don't see anybody. You know, Mountainburg's sitting in second place right now, but they've already played them. And so Mansfield, the Tigers, they're going to roll right there. Woodlawn, it's really funny because they'll go play a conference game and then they'll go play the number two team in 3A just because they want to get better. They one of their best players is not even playing right now, and they're playing really good baseball. Cale Edmonds should be back by the end of the year, and that's just going to make them even more of a better team in 2A. But yeah, McCrory, Carlisle, this is one we've been waiting on for a while. McCrory, after a tough start, they played in the PBR Jamboree, Round Robin, whatever you want to call it. They started out 1-3. They're on an 8-game winning streak. They're 15-4-1 overall, 2-0 in conference play. Carlisle's 3-0 in conference play, 14-5 overall. Last week, Carlisle lost to 4A Bauxite 3-2. Bauxite's got a couple of really good pitchers. McCrory beat 4A Morrilton 15-1, gave Morrilton their first loss on the year. So April 14th, if we get there, it's going to be an amazing game. Expect Dalton Ward on the mound for Carlisle and Cason Campbell on the mound for McCrory. I can't wait. I'm planning on being there. Melbourne, they keep running up the rankings. I think they're going to be in the Super 7 this week, setting at 7-0, 11-4 overall. Buffalo Island Central, they've got a 2-game lead in their conference in the northeastern part of the state. So, yeah, you got to give it to Bigelow's Hunter Alexander for one of the performances of the week. And I know he had some really big games by pitchers. It's the year of the pitcher with perfect games all across the state. It's amazing to see these young men and young women coming out there doing what they're doing game after game. But Hunter Alexander, who is a University of Arkansas at Rich Mountain commit, had a complete game one hitter, 17 strikeouts. He also has got 6 home runs on the year, which is not too bad. In that conference, that's the one we're going to look at. Southside B Branch is also undefeated. St. Joe's is undefeated. Easton Swafford for Southside B Branch, get this, Kyle, his last 6 games, 18-22. He's got 11 extra base hits. That includes 3 home runs, 13 RBI, 7 stolen bases. He's playing like the Gatorade Player of the Year that I think he should be. He's a University of Arkansas commit. So the 5-2A is the conference to look at because you got three teams undefeated. They're going to be going down to the wire. I know I talked to Coach Craig Neumeier from Bigelow. He's got they got St. Joe on Monday and B Branch on Friday. Of course, weather permitting.
Yeah. I just mentioned that, like, we'll have to say that about everything. I know that
I'm gonna
try to, but I know that it's just going to come out because everything that we say, it's just going to be like, well, big matchups are happening, but is it going to happen? Because, like I said at the beginning, is the field going to be under, like, let's say these Thursday games, is the field going to be underwater? So, yeah, we're just hoping and praying that we can get a little bit in because it's not looking like we're going to get much, if any. So, no question about that. But going to 3A, Lincoln, they have just been incredible, really, in both basketball and softball. Anybody that listens to this podcast has heard us sing their praises, especially for the freshman phenom Brinkley Morton and what Coach Britt Engel and them are doing up there. Just really great season. We've got them currently ranked, or the softball team, at number two, right behind defending state champion Baptist Prep. But the Wolves, the baseball Wolves, they will play Bergman. That should decide the 3A1 conference or have major implications. Jackson Endicott had three home runs and a doubleheader sweep over West Fork. And then a big one with Ashdown and Genoa Central. That should break the tie, or will break the tie, in the 3A7. And, Kevin, you just talked about perfect games. Let's talk about Rosebud. We have a lot to say about them last week after they went 5-0. They also had a pitcher that went for a perfect game, Russ Martin, and a 6-0 win over Clinton. But the whole talk, and I saw this in your mentions all last week or late last week whenever we were talking about the Rosebud Harding Academy game. Now, Cade Smith and Gavin Alvetti, will they be available? I'm not really sure about any of that right now. You would probably have a little bit more insight on that. And, of course, I don't know if you're, you know, if it's anything that we can comment on, of course, but Rosebud has really begun to pick up, or they've been really good this year. Harding Academy coming into the season, everybody knew that they were the team to beat as the defending state champions. But this is definitely a game that was talked about, as I mentioned, a lot last week, and it's still going to be continued to talk about until it's played.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you're mentioning the people getting in the mentions on Twitter. There's going to be a lot of talent on the field, and there is. And I'm not going to comment on the injuries with the young men, with Gavin Alvetti and Cade Smith. I think one of them may be back by then. I'm not for sure. So they'll just have to, when they get to that point, they're out there, they're going to give it their all. But yeah, Russ Martin, what a year he's had.
Yeah.
He started out his first 12 innings, had 26 strikeouts. He had 17 the other night in a perfect game against Clinton. They started out conference play 3-0, 6-0 overall, and we thought, hey, you know, Clinton may be getting back to those days of when they're playing really good baseball. And Rush shut them down. Got to give a shout-out to Mike Hawley for the Clinton Sports Network. He had the call on the game the other night. It was really fun. It's on my Twitter page if you want to go look at that. I want to go back to Lincoln. Jackson Endicott, he's got a 32 on the ACT. 32 on the ACT, Kyle, which that's a number I never got to. I don't know about you. But coming out with a three home run performance and a doubleheader sweep against West Fork, like you mentioned, you got to give it to Jackson. He can really swing it. I talked to Coach Jay Key. He said, man, he just gets up there and he can just rake. That's all he does. He gets out there every day, just hits bombs. So you got to love to have somebody like that in the middle of your lineup. And that's what you need this time of the year going after a conference title. Like you said, they're going to get with Bergman. That's going to go a long way. Elkins has been playing better of late. They did beat Bergman in a non-conference tournament. So Elkins could have a lot to say about that 1-3A. And looking else around the state, Coach Perrin from Baptist Prep, they've been playing a lot better. They're 4-0 in conference play. And your alma mater, the CAC Mustangs, are 7-0 in conference play. I don't think anybody's going to beat them in conference, honestly. Freshman phenom, and we talked to this young man's father the other day, Grayson Wilson. He's got a 10-1 strikeout to walk ratio. And for 2A3, no, I don't care what classification you are, that's really good. He's got 41 strikeouts, only 4 walks on the year. So anytime that CAC is on the mound in an important game, expect Grayson to be on the bump. And then the southern part of the state, yeah, Ashdown, Genoa Central, they're both 7-1 in conference play. They're going to play on Monday. And Camden Harmony Grove, like we mentioned earlier, they're 17-1-1 now. They beat the number one team in 2A. They beat Taylor a couple weeks ago. So going down the stretch, Coach Williams thinks his guys are primed and ready to go. It's a team. It's not just one or two guys carrying the load for them. Bradley Launius is one of the names that's up there. He's got 6 home runs on the year, but it's a real team effort week in and week out.
Yeah, just a little bit more on Grayson Wilson. So I like to say, I think you and I both can relate to the fact that we take our fan hat off in terms of a media perspective and we look at everybody the exact same. But we definitely like to sing the praises of our alma mater every time that we get the opportunity to do so. And Grayson Wilson, Kevin, I've been hearing about this kid mainly at quarterback since he was in eighth grade. I still keep in contact. One of the offensive line, defensive line coach was my position coach in high school, and we still keep in close contact. And I've been hearing a lot about him from other people around the area. I mean, he's a basketball player too. I mean, the kid is just a all-around excellent athlete. He could have played up this year. Of course, they moved Tyler Williams from running back to quarterback, but they wanted to keep that junior high class together. CAC's got a really good freshman class, and they moved him up, I believe it was for the last 2 varsity games of the season, and he played pretty well. So, yeah, they've got a quarterback in this kid, a pitcher. I'm not sure exactly what position he plays, and I'm going to guess probably a combo guard in basketball. But, yeah, CAC's definitely got maybe one of the best athletes, and I'm not comparing him to him, but, I mean, he has a chance to possibly be the next best athlete since Joe Adams there that graduated with me. And so, again, I'm not saying he's the next Joe Adams, but I'm saying in terms of just an overall athlete, Kristen Williams on the girls' side was by far the best athlete that CAC's ever seen. But also, too, Grayson could be the next one up in a long line of great athletes to come through that school. And so moving up to 4A, really seems like, Kevin, this week, you know, Huntsville, we talked about them a lot, Valley View, of course, and rightfully so. But it seems like this week the headlines are Morrilton. They finally lost a game after starting, I believe it was 9-0. They lost to McCrory. Now, you can't really hold too much against. I know McCrory is obviously a really good team. And in baseball, you're going to lose games. That's just the way it works. But
yeah,
I really thought that a major headline, too, was the PA Lone Oak. It seemed like that there was a pretty big pitcher's duel there, you know, with Kel Busby and Patrick Inkscoff. And I believe Inkscoff is committed right now to OU, to the University of Oklahoma. And then for Lone Oak, Eaves, he shut out PA in the second game. So we'll start with those two right there, really, the PA and Lone Oak series, and then also Morrilton dropping their first game, and I'll let you elaborate from there.
Yeah, and it really kind of shocked me. I was going to try to get out there. They moved the game back, and it just didn't align with the schedule. But I had Tripp Sullivan's dad, appreciate it. He passed along box scores after every game. He gets them to me. And Tripp started on the mound in that game 1 where Kel Busby and Patrick Inkscoff were on the mound, and they shut Lone Oak down. Tripp had a rough night for the Jackrabbits. He wasn't on key. He came back later in the week and shut down 5A Marion. So he's young. He's a lefty. He Razorback commit. He's going to pitch well. But Lone Oak could not hit against Kel Busby. And he remains uncommitted as a 23. Of course, Inkscoff is going to OU. They just shut Lone Oak down. It's the first time they've really been shut down like that this year. And then the back half of the doubleheader, Eaves, who is just now figuring out how to pitch. He was on our top catchers list for Scorebook Live. He works 86 to 89, but he's got a really good sinking fastball. I think his future is on the mound. His nickname is the Boogeyman, because you don't want to fall asleep on the base paths or you'll get thrown out. But he's got a lot of stuff you can't teach on the mound, so he's going to be a high-level prospect. PA is 5-3 in conference play. That gives them a shot, an outside shot, at one of those top 2 seeds, and that's what you want to be, because the 5-4A matches up with the 3-4A in regional play. That is led by Valley View, Brooklyn, Pocahontas, the usual suspects. Valley View beat up on everybody this weekend. They're 17-3 overall. Coach Josh Allison's team, they just keep playing really well. Huntsville, they're 16-3. They're going to do battle with Harrison for that conference title. They only play a single round robin and then play a district tournament. So the top 2 teams get a bye to the semifinals. It's really important you finish top 2 there. Shiloh Christian's playing really well. They beat Van Buren 5-4 the other day. So you never know what's going to happen when you get to district play. Morrilton, they did drop a game to McCrory. I don't know who they threw against McCrory, but I think you should get a few hits. That kind of concerns me that they didn't score any runs. So looking at the other part, the southern part of the state, Magnolia and Camden Fairview have started playing up to their potential. The 8-4A, they're 6-2. Still a wide-open conference. Monticello dropped a game this week, but they're finally starting to round in the form. And right now, after Valley View and Lone Oak, you probably got six or eight teams that could be right there with them, depending on the matchup, Kyle. And that's what makes 4A baseball so much fun. There's only 12 teams that make it to the state tournament, but it's really competitive once you get there.
Yeah, just like 4A and softball, as Jared and I have talked about really for the last 3 weeks or so, that there's probably 10 to 12 teams that you could make a strong case that should be in the Super 7. So it seems like it's that way in baseball as well. And then in 5A, I think it was a little shocking that Benton dropped two games in non-conference play. That was one of the major headlines, along with Whitehall ending El Dorado's 11-game winning streak. El Dorado, a team that we've talked at length about because of what they've been doing, still in a great position. You know, all these teams that we're talking about losing, it seems like that in every class there's been a surprise loss. And we're not in any way saying that they're out of this. There's still a lot of baseball left to be played. And as I mentioned, that happens in baseball. It happens in softball. It happens in sports across the board. But it has been a magical run so far for El Dorado, and it really just is right now a bump in the road, nothing too major. And so talk about those two things between Benton and with them dropping the two games and then El Dorado's 11-game win streak ending.
Yeah, Benton dropped an 11-inning affair to PA. Harrison Inkscough, Patrick's younger brother, he's a class of 2024, was really good on the mound, gave six strong innings on the mound. And then Caleb Rogers had a really good night at the plate for him. So they beat Benton 5-2. And then North Little Rock beat Benton. North Little Rock went for the Saline County sweep. They didn't get it. Bryant beat them 8-2. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. But, yeah, Benton's fine. You know, like we said, you're going to lose in baseball. It's hard to go undefeated. I know that better than anybody. We went 30-0 my junior year, lost the state finals to Batesville. So we went 30-1. One of the longest winning streaks in Arkansas. But we move on. Green County Tech sitting on top of the 5A East. Jonesboro really flexed their muscles this week. They beat Batesville in a doubleheader, 5-4 in the first game. Jonesboro came back from a 5-1 deficit, and then the second game went off 10-0. Josh Heinemann, the Razorback commit as a pitcher, leads the state with 8 home runs on the year, which is really amazing. He can really swing it. Got a lot of power there. But, yeah, Whitehall is really playing well of late. 5A South looks like this right now. El Dorado, Sheridan, and then you got Lake Hamilton and Whitehall right there at 4-2. So they're still alive for that conference title. It's coming right down the wire right here in 5A. The Central, you're going to figure out a lot over the next couple of weeks because you got Benton, Little Rock Christian play, and then Sylvan Hills is sitting right there in that 3 spot right now after they swept Maumelle a couple weeks ago. They were off last week. All they did was go up to Branson. They beat St. Thomas Aquinas up in Branson. St. Thomas Aquinas is where Kendall Diggs, the Arkansas Razorback freshman, that's where he went to school. Very good program. Sylvan Hills took care of them. The Bears are getting hot at the right time, so they could be one of those pesky teams that could ruin somebody's year here towards the end of the season.
And then finally in 6A, the Central has really turned it around, Kevin. You know, I mentioned the last couple of shows, really about 2 weeks ago, that it was strictly a West affair. And then Catholic has really come on. North Little Rock, they did lose a game this week. I believe it was an 8-2 decision to Bryant. But Bryant, they've begun to really figure it out after a slow start. Conway and Cabot are at the top of the Central right now. And so we'll start on that, and then I'll let you get into the West. But I wanted to touch on the Central, just because it was looking like at one point that they were going to be really down this year, or at least that's what it appeared as the season began.
Yeah, and I found it – I had a hard time finding a Central team that I could put in the Super 7 because so many other teams from the West were beating them in non-conference tournaments. They were coming down to Central Arkansas, beat them like they stole something and go back up to Northwest Arkansas. But they've been playing really well of late. Aiden Velasquez is a name from Cabot. He's a sophomore. You're going to learn that name over the next couple of years. They're 5-1 right now. They're tied with Conway. Conway really took it to Catholic the other night. I talked to Coach Dylan Owen after the game. Conway beat them 9-3. I said, "What happened?" He said, "We didn't come ready to compete." And when you play a Conway team that's really talented and they got a three-headed monster, they started with Austin Rain and ended with Hugh Hill, two lefties that are really good on the mound. Hugh Hill's got an offer to UCA. Austin has a offer. I think it's a junior college offer. I'll get that and make sure I get that one right. But yeah, Cabot and Conway are sitting at the top right now. Then you got Catholic Northern Rock. Bryant's playing better. Like I said, they beat North Little Rock the other night, 8-2, and they're sitting at 3-3 right now. They're season ended right now, they'd be a 5 seed playing the West 4, which would be Bentonville West. So Rogers is still on top of the West at 6-0, 14-2 overall. Harbor Wildcats pitching and defense goes a long way with those guys. They're sitting at 5-1. Then you, of course, you got the Bentonville schools at 3-3 in the third and fourth place game. Rogers should go 8-0. They play Springdale this week. Springdale's sitting right there at 2-4 in conference play. They would make the playoffs. Really upset me, man. I thought Southside was going to go on a roll, Kyle. That had a big week 2 weeks ago by sweeping Bentonville. And they came back this week in Fayetteville, the Young Bulldogs, Landon Schaefer and the boys took it to them. They beat them both nights last week. So you're getting a little wild, wild west action, and playoff seating is going to be really important coming down the stretch, as it is in the Central as well. So it's very important to get one of those top two seeds because that gets you into the second round on Friday. That way you only have to win two games to get to the finals.
And we'll say it one last time. Hopefully everything that we just talked about, we will at least get to see. Hey, if we get through half of something, and I know a lot of it was stuff that happened last week, so we didn't preview a ton of stuff, but it was kind of a mix. But basically all of the big games and all the stuff that you did just mention, I hope that at least we can see half of it. If we can get through that, then I'll be happy, because I know especially on Monday, Tuesday, it's going to get really nasty is what I had seen for the Thunders, maybe even Wednesday too. Some possible thunderstorms. So definitely going to get really nasty. But Kevin, appreciate the time, man. As always, always good talking with you. And hopefully you can bring my Cardinals some good luck in this first series and they can pull it out against the Pirates today. I guess today on Monday as this releases.
Sounds good, man. Hey, safe travels to everybody out there. We'll hope you get to play some good ball this week.
Up next, we got softball with Jared Hawthorne. Stay with us. We're now joined by Jared Hawthorne, our softball guru. And Jared, it was a great week of softball. And I was talking with Kevin in the first segment about how we dodged Mother Nature this past week. Really was not a factor for really pretty much, it seems like, the first time all season. But a lot of weather coming in this week. And so we're kind of worried that we're going to get not to play. We're not going to be able to play very many games, if any at all, just since it's looking like Thursday is going to be the only clear day, and not really sure how much rain we're going to get before then. So we're going to hope for the best, but I want to start by talking about that negativity right there. I want to start by mentioning something extremely positive. We had 6 perfect games, at least that I was made aware of. I think that is the correct number, but 6 perfect games from pitchers this week, starting Tuesday night with Tuckerman's Kenzie Sauden. Soden, she struck out 7 in a 15-0 victory over Sloan Hendricks. And then Tuesday night as well, Southside Batesville and their doubleheader with Blyville. Carly Duncan threw 1 in a 16-0 win. Grace Llewellyn, a 22-0 win over the Blyville Lady Chickasaws. And then Thursday, Razorback commit Casey Wood in a 15-0 victory over Springdale. And then Friday, Washita's Maddie Fulmer, a freshman there in a 15-0 win over Blevins. And finally, on Friday night as well, another freshman phenom from Hackett, Mackenzie Freeman, in a 23-0 victory over Cedarville. Now, that was her 5th of the year and her 6th no-hitter. That 5th perfect game is now a state record. And so, Jared, I know that you have talked about pretty much at length the talent in this state, not just overall for softball, but for the freshman class in particular. And I've watched, you know, a decent bit of softball this year. I've watched a good bit of prep softball throughout my life, but I see the film on Twitter. I see the games from the stands. You see it as you break down and you coach girls one by one on a pretty much daily basis. I know, and your daughter also had a really good game as well and has had a really good last couple of weeks. And so that's just to name a few. There's so many that we could name around the state, but how good is the talent, particularly in the freshman class in the state of Arkansas for softball?
Well, it's something that I've been talking to a lot of college coaches about. I've been talking to different people around the state, from coaches to sports media. Everywhere you go, everyone is talking about the amount of talent in the freshman class in Arkansas. And that's not to take away from any of the other classes, because there's you know, amazing players and lots of talent in all the classes in Arkansas. This is maybe some of the best talent, 9th through 12th grade, that I've seen in years in Arkansas. But when it comes to the freshman class, I'm just blown away. I mean, when you start, you know, looking at kids statewide, you know, Lily Faye McWhirter, Cooper Terry, Brinkley Morton, Elena Lyle, you know, Abby Copine at MENA, and that's just talking about pitchers and some big hitters, Lexi Delaney at Hazen, and that, I mean, and we're just scratching the surface. I mean, that's just some of the ones I know right off the top of my head. You know, my daughter is having a great year at Cutter. You know, she's had 4 straight games where she's only allowed 2 hits, and she's had 2 one-hitters and 2 no-hitters in the last 4 games. She was one walk away from a perfect game the other day. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not knocking her. I love my daughter, and I'm proud of her. But she's not near the talent of some of those other girls that I just named. And there's a whole lot even more talented to her. The freshman class is just out of this world. I'm missing some of the really big ones right off the top of my head. I'm missing, Ayla Buford at Taylor. I mean, out of sight kid. Another freshman. I mean, everywhere you look, there are, like, just stud freshmen. So, I've talked to 3 or 4 different college coaches in Arkansas that have talked about the amount of talent in that class, and that it's probably one of the highest single-rated classes that Arkansas's had in somewhere around 20 to 25 years.
Yeah, and we've talked about Brinkley Morton at length, and she certainly deserved that. I think that really over the last week or two that many people have been talking about her because she set state records in with runs batted in, and now you've got Mackenzie Freeman, another freshman phenom from Hackett that I just mentioned there at the end with her 5th perfect game of the year, 6 no-hitter.
Yeah, Mackenzie Freeman is just unreal, and I don't know her personally, but I've seen a little film on her. And the little bit of film I've seen on her, she's just mind-blowing. She's got to be in the conversation for, you know, a top 5 pitcher in the state at the way she's throwing right now. For sure, a top 5 freshman in the state as a pitcher. You know, and not going away from pitchers a little bit, they both pitch and play positions. You got a couple of young freshmen at Arkansas High that we've talked about before, and Macy Lee and Taylor Pasquarella. You've got a really good freshman in Ronnie Tillery at Boonville. Some of the ones that I know just off the top of my head. It's just if you start looking at these kids, there's tons of kids that can be in that top 200, 300 in the nation that are freshmen in Arkansas.
And I wanted to talk about, too, we mentioned this in the first segment because her brother hit 2 home runs in the baseball victory, Ouachita's baseball victory over Blevins. But Maddie Fulmer was another one, and I got a chance to talk to her mom on Facebook after the game to get some stats and everything. Obviously, extremely elated. You know, her son and her daughter both had career-type games on the same night. And so that's another freshman right there, you know, that's been very quality. Then you got Casey Wood, the Razorback commit, that plays for the ultra-talented Bentonville. And Bentonville has a lot of college prospects, but right now she's the best one on there. And so at least on paper, from what we've seen with her being committed to the Razorbacks class of 2023, that number one ranked in the nation. And so it just really is insane, the fact, and this is the first time that I've covered softball this year statewide, and I don't know that there's a better year to get into it because, you know, some of the ones that you didn't name, I know you were just naming a couple of batters and a couple of pitchers there, but some that come to my mind is Dita Porterfield from Valonia and Leela Toll, both freshmen from there. That's the ones that just in Central Arkansas come to mind. And so we could really just go on and on and on. You and I have talked about the pitchers list in particular that we'll be releasing or hopefully start releasing some of these position lists this week, starting with catchers. But with pitchers, we're going to have to put some of them at their secondary spots just because of how incredibly talented, because otherwise we'd have a list that is legitimately probably 60 to 75.
They're all legitimate pitchers.
And right. And it's not like we're just putting it on there because we think that they had a good game. They are legit. They've had multiple good games. They've proven their worth. And so we just really wanted to shed a little light, start off the segment talking about just how talented, just how great of a week that they had. And look, One of the things that just irks me, and I know that we've heard this a lot this week, is, you know, what was the talent like? What was the talent like that they were facing? Look, it is impossible, or it, like, not impossible, but it is, obviously it's not impossible because these kids are doing it. It is insanely hard. And Jared, you as a coach know this, how insanely hard it is to throw a, not just a no-hitter, but a perfect game. And to do this consistently, like what Mackenzie Freeman is doing. And so, just an amazing, I don't know that I've ever seen this many. I think I've seen maybe two or three in a week, but six, that's, I'm not going to say it's unheard of, but it's pretty dang rare. And so, really yeah. great thing right there to see. And congratulations to all the girls and a couple of the guys that did it as well. We talked about one particular from Rosebud there in the first segment. And so another, or go ahead if you got something else.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, no doubt about it, talking about the level of competition. Yeah, there's definitely times when if a kid throws a perfect game against elite competition, that absolutely needs to be celebrated. But you can be playing the weakest team in the world and throwing a perfect game is still a feat, because all it takes is one walk, one hit batter, you know, anything to mess up a perfect game. So when you complete a game perfect, no matter the level of competition, and I know some of these perfect games were against decent competition. It wasn't like they were all pushovers. So, you know, there was some decent competition mixed in some of those perfect games. So there's some really talented pitchers in this state, and it just, there's talent everywhere you look in Arkansas right now.
And one thing I wanted to touch on in 3A is we're going to kind of mix it up a little bit here. Instead of going class by class by class, we're just going to talk about some of the main points of this week. Because when I was doing some of the research for this show this week, I was going through class 3A. And again, we say it every week, Baptist Prep is the favorite. Lincoln right there at 2, Hackett at 3, Gosnell at 4, Ashdown at 5, Smack over at 6, Atkins at 7. Obviously, that's what we have for this week. But Pangburn, they've been a little pretty inconsistent this year for the most part, have had a decent season, but the fact that they beat number one McCrory after what McCrory had been doing, people, of course, 2A number one McCrory, but after what they had been doing to people, they beat them at the beginning of last week, 8-2. You look at Boonville, I believe they've won 11 or 12 in a row. I know it's double digits and something around that range, so they've really began to pick it up. We thought that they would once they got the girls back from that really good basketball team, and they started to really gel. But then you look at the 3A7, Jared, and it's really picking up there. We've already known about Ashdown all year. Falk has won 4 or 5 straight, including wins over a good Bismarck team and then a good Magnolia team there, the best team right now in the 4A8. And then also Genoa Central. They've got 2 wins over Ashdown, which, I mean, Genoa Central will definitely probably find themselves in our rankings very soon. I know that they've been banged up with some injuries, which has had a part of that, of why they weren't in there. But just because, not to say that their wins that they have take away from that, but the injuries, we do factor that in sometimes, is where the injuries are, strength of schedules, quality, whatever it may be. There's multiple different things that we look at there. But Genoa Central is one that I think a lot of people have been sleeping on that really haven't been talked about a lot. But that 3A7 conference, again, Ashdown, we already knew that they were good. But then you look at Genoa Central, and then I think a kind of a sneaky team. And then you've also got Bismarck in there too. And so Bismarck, yeah, they've had a couple of losses there over the last week or so. But I think that that conference right there, we've talked about the depth of the 3A. And, of course, you know, with the top three there with Baptist Prep, Lincoln, and Hackett. But I think that conference really has began to heat up as we get closer to the end of the regular season.
There's no doubt about it. And with Genoa, from what I'd heard, and I don't know it to be a fact, but they'd had a couple of injuries early. It definitely affected them in the first few games. And maybe they just hadn't started clicking on all cylinders, but they've definitely come on over the last 4 or 5 games for sure. And there's no doubt if they could continue to fire like they're firing right now, I think they're going to be in that conversation to be in our top 7 in another week or so. They're just, I think maybe you had them just out looking in is how we had them, you know, right there at that. Ashdown's for sure great team. They've got, you know, traditional power and they know how to win and they've got a lot of talent. And I'm going to tell you, Bismarck is, even though they've lost a couple of games, they've lost to good teams.
Yeah, no doubt.
And Bismarck's stronger than a lot of people give them credit for. And I'm going to tell you, they've got a kid that's unreal. Their third baseman, Kata Collins, she has got a bat out of this world. She can crush the ball. She is a lockdown third baseman that, I mean, you just about can't hit a ball past that kid. And it's, there's not a higher character, better person out there. She is just a great kid and a great ball player. And Bismarck's sneaky good. They're going to sneak up on some people going through the rest of the season.
And one thing I want to backtrack a little bit on here, I want to touch on 2A. Really outside of the McCrory loss to Pangburn, there wasn't a ton that went on, at least a ton of surprises that happened in 2A. But we talked about Rector last week. I think we at least touched on them. And then but we did put them in the rankings at number 5. And they've been on fire. Their only loss is to number 1 in 2A, McCrory. And so I wanted to touch on them because they were supposed to play East Poinsett County this past week. I think that game actually got moved for the second time, and this time it's right now going to be played on April 21st. But that's a game right there, because right now all season we've pretty much had McCrory, East Poinsett County, Woodlawn, and Tuckerman in those top 4. And those are definitely the top 4 teams to beat. Tuckerman, despite the injuries that they've had, they're still a loaded team. And I basically said this in the blurb for our rankings this week, that they are still a one of the favorites to repeat as 2A champs just because of how deep that they are. I know that, you know, McKaylee Gist, as their ace pitcher, has had some injury issues this year, and you know, it really stinks. You know, just a really great kid, extremely talented player. You hate to see that happen to anybody. So losing her is very big. That's one to name one in particular, but Tuckerman is still definitely a major possibility to win the 2A state championship once again, along with Woodlawn, East Poinsett County, and McCrory. But that one right there with Rector, I think that they're right there. I mean, just like I have them at 5, I think it's those 4 teams and then them right behind them right now. But if they get a win over a team like East Poinsett County, man, the sky is the limit for them. I think that the Lady Cougs have really began to make some noise there in 2A.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, talking to the other coaches, I don't think anybody expected Rector to be – they expected them to be good. They didn't expect them to be a team that would be in this top 6-7 to be talked about. They thought, you know, talking to the other coaches around, everybody kind of talked like Rector will be, yeah, they'll probably be, you know, second or third best in their conference. They might be 10 or 12 in state. They'd be okay, but they're not going to be in that conversation. But I'm going to tell you, so far they've proved otherwise. And with their only loss being to McCrory, and that game with East Poinsett County is going to really push one or the other of them up to maybe even solidify that number 1 spot in 2A. You know, with that group that you talked about, and then I think Magnet Cove is kind of the dark horse on the back end with the talent that could sneak in there, you know, for a state championship. There's a lot of good teams in 2A. I don't know that there's enough teams that are inside that top 6 or 7 besides the ones we've been talking about.
And then going to 4A, and this was one that we've talked about so many different times, just the depth of this, and we won't bore people with consistently talking about how there could be 10 to 12 teams. I actually shortly mentioned that in the previous segment, but we won't bore anybody with that this week. We're going to talk about Nashville and Stuttgart, what they were able to do. First of all, Stuttgart, they're my team of the week for what they were able to do. They went into Bauxite, and look, a Bauxite team, Jared, I know that you've been extremely high on. I've admitted that I might have slept on them a little bit. I've definitely had respect for them all year, but I think I slept on them a little bit more than I probably should have. But Stuttgart goes in. So right now they've won 3, 4, 5, 6. They've won 9 or 10 games in a row with the Bauxite win, and they've beaten some quality teams. Whitehall, Little Rock Christian's a good one. That's a 5A team that we have on the outside looking in, who had a fantastic week, especially on Tuesday night in a doubleheader against Maumelle. They hit 5 home runs. Mia Smith had 3 grand slams. And then I can't remember her name, but there was another girl that they had 4 grand slams total, 3 of them to Mia Smith. So Little Rock Christian playing really well this year. Also, too, Stuttgart played really well against out-of-state competition in the Bearcat Blast back around spring break time as well. And so their only losses are to BB, a really good 5A team that we've been high on, and also another ranked team in Greenbrier. So the Lady Ricebirds, I think the biggest question has been, can they hold up, because they don't have a ton of depth that some of the other elite teams or like really good teams might have. But Emma Banks has become, that's another one of those pitchers that we've talked about, just the talent that we have in this state there at that position. She has really, to me, emerged as one of the top pitchers in the state, just what she's been able to do. It's almost like every time she goes out, she's going to pitch, she's going to throw double strikeouts. I mean, double-digit strikeouts. And so she's really picked it up there. But that win over Bauxite, to me, solidifies Stuttgart as a top three team in Class 4A, no question about it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think we even talked about this. I don't remember if it was during the podcast or just me and you talking, but we talked about Emma Banks early in the year and that she is absolutely a great pitcher. I think she's a top 10 pitcher in the state. I've got her in that spot, probably maybe around 7 or 8 in the state for me. If she can stay healthy, Stuttgart has the possibility of beating anybody in the state. If she's healthy and she's able to go and not tired from pitching back-to-back games or anything like that, they have a real shot at beating anybody in the state because she is absolutely a beast. She is a great pitcher. I haven't watched her in person. I've seen a little bit of film on her. I've seen a few videos. She looks amazing watching her pitch. The question is, if she doesn't stay healthy, do they have anybody behind her that can get the job done and keep Stuttgart on task? And that's been kind of the question, the theory going around some of the coaches is Stuttgart is really talented their first 9 or 10 players. They don't have a lot past that. And, I mean, I'm going to tell you, if they stay healthy, they can play with anybody. Now, whether or not they can, forgo any injuries or anything like that and still stay in those spots, that's a different story. But, they're as talented as anybody in those first 9. And when you can put 9 great ones on the field versus anybody else's 9, you got a shot.
And I want to hold off until we'll do a couple more notes here for 5 and 6A before we get into the Benton tournament. I want to wait to talk about Nashville there. They were the only team not in Class 5 or 6A that played in that Benton tournament that was absolutely loaded. You and I, of course, were at that last game with Nashville and Benton, but some other 6A and 5A and 6A notes on Tuesday. Number 2 Cabot defeated number 3 Bryant 7-1. So a big statement win there by the Lady Panthers, the only team remaining in Class 6A that is undefeated. I mentioned Little Rock Christian swept the doubleheader over Maumelle 19-2 and 17-11 respectively. The Lady Warriors had, here's the notes here. So they had 5 total home runs on the evening. Mia Smith, like I said, had the 3 grand slams, and then also Peyton Whipple, that was her name, that had the other grand slam along with 3 doubles. So a massive night there for the Little Rock Christian Lady Warriors. That's a team that I've kind of been looking at to possibly put in the rankings, whether it be in the outside looking in or the Super 7. That win right there, those double wins, the doubleheader sweep right there was what really solidified it for me that I think that they deserve to be in that conversation. So,
yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, just speaking to Little Rock Christian, I was blown away looking at what they did the night of all the home runs, especially the grand slams. But I'll tell you, they've got a kid named Gwen Hall that is a special kind of talent also. She wasn't even one of the ones that hit home runs the other night, but she is a legit high-end recruit that can go. She's a lefty. She's got speed. She can smash the ball. And she's another one of those high-character kids. Team leader, great kid, and you add that to the talent they had with Mia Smith and some of those other girls, and was it Peyton Whipple, that can smash the ball, and that team's going to be another one that may just sneak in there and really start wreaking havoc with some of the top 5 or 6.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that's I think you said it right there. Mia Smith is just an all-around great athlete. I covered her extensively in basketball. I was actually on the scene for Scorebook Live for the entire 5A state tournament, so watched her play 3 games right there, and she was absolutely phenomenal for a Little Rock Christian Lady Warriors team that could shoot the long ball in basketball. So she's a great 3-point shooter, and she's a great long ball hitter in softball as well, and I think a pretty good outfielder at that. So, yeah, definitely a big-time statement made by the Lady Warriors there. And finally, going into the Benton tournament, Jared, I mean, I wish I could have covered this entire thing extensively, but, with a newborn, that would have been kind of crappy to leave my wife all weekend with a basically week old. And so, but I did convince her to let – I mowed the yard, cleaned up the house, did some things, and I convinced her to let me go to, I just live right down the road from the Benton complex, like 3.5-4 minutes. So I definitely wanted to make sure and catch the nightcap of Nashville and Benton. Of course, Benton, the top team overall in the state, top 15 nationally. And then you've got Nashville, the top team in Class 4A. But here's the results on Friday night. You had Benton over Rogers 3-2. Also Bentonville West over Marion 5-4. And then Saturday, Rogers over Marion 10-0. Nashville over Bentonville West. I believe that I didn't confirm this one, but I think that one was 4-0. Nashville over Bentonville West. And then Rogers over Nashville 13-3. And then finally, Benton over Bentonville West. That was the second to last game, 9-1. And then finally Benton over Nashville 5-1 in extra innings, thanks to a walk-off grand slam by Alyssa Houston, the fantastic multi-sport athlete that is Jared. I mean, that's the first time I've seen her in person play softball. I've seen plenty of film on her, but home run in the second inning to give Benton the early 1-0 lead. She struck out 12 in the circle and then had this walk-off grand slam to give the Lady Panthers, I believe, their 47th. I think it's either their 46th or 47th win in a row, dating back to last. They went 31-0 last season. So, yeah, I think that put them around like 47-0 this year. But you were there. I was there. Just an outstanding performance by both teams. But I'm going to tell you this right now. This is something I don't have to tell you. You saw it, and I think that you agree with me, that Nashville, what they were able to do again, I mean, they made some mistakes in the game. There was an error or two on their side, and there was an error or two on Benton's side. But to go out there and do what they did and take them to extra innings, take them down to the wire, and take the top team in the state overall, top 15 team in the nation. And, look, I got to give a lot of respect. These were two of the best coaches in the game, and Heidi Cox from Benton and Boomer Brown from Nashville, two of the top softball coaches in our state. And one thing I love about Boomer Brown, and this is pretty typical of and Heidi Cox does this too, of course, but one thing I love about Boomer Brown is he is going to schedule the best of the best. That's exactly – that's what Nashville does a lot of the time. That's exactly what Paul Dean did for the girls' basketball team. You look at their only two losses, their state championship season that ended a month ago. The only two losses that they had were to the 5 and the 6A state champions, and they're 4A. And so Boomer Brown does the exact same thing. He wants to play the top talent in the state. And he said that on – I heard him say, because I was sitting next to the Nashville radio guy in the pregame. That's exactly what he said, you know, to play to something along the lines of to be the best, you got to beat the best. And he just said, we want to go out there and we want to play good softball. And that's what they did. Mason Junkins looked really good on the mound, was spinning it really well. And also, too, you pointed this out to me when we were leaving last night, that or on Saturday night, that their defense of Nashville was just absolutely outstanding. And right before you and I met up, I wanted to wait until we did the show to mention this, but I overheard, I'm assuming maybe some Benton parents or Benton fans talk about, well, you know, if they would have gotten us when we hadn't played all day, then there's no telling what would have happened here. But look, with all due respect, last time I checked, Nashville played a couple of games too. So it's not like Nashville was fresh and Benton wasn't. These two teams, I mean, Nashville had just gotten just completely pummeled by Rogers. I mean, that one was a lot closer than it seemed. I think it was really one inning that got away from them. But, you know, they just got their teeth kicked in by one of the top teams in Class 6A and then came out and dang near beat the top team in the state overall. So I can't give enough credit to the Scrapperettes for what they were able to do and Coach Brown to get his team ready for this tournament. And I'm telling you, this is, you know, Jared, we've said that, I guess as of last week, that really Nashville is the hands-down 4A team in the state. And I think that this is just another couple of feathers in their cap of what is going to really help them on down the line in Class 4A playing this top competition.
Well, I mean, there's so many angles and so many directions you can go with this ball game and talking about it. I'm going to tell you, and you're definitely right on all the respect in the world to Nashville, because was this their third game of the day, or did they play one on Friday? Because I didn't get to see earlier in the day.
They played three. They played – so, actually, yeah, I think they played three and Benton played two. Benton played one on Friday night. Yeah, so Nashville played Bentonville West on Saturday. They played Rogers, and then they played Benton. And Benton played West on Saturday, but they also played on Friday. So, Nashville had less rest than they did.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how much of that Macy McJunkins pitched, but I can tell you this, that kid, the heart that kid showed pitching against one of the most lethal lineups in the game. She absolutely, and she's not an overpowering kid when it comes to pitchers. She's got good velocity when she wants to use it, but she mixes speeds and she has such ball control to fade those off-speed pitches off the edge of the plate like she wants them to, to place her off-speed pitches exactly where she wants them. I was blown away about her ability to keep those bent hitters off balance. Now, obviously, Alyssa Houston, she did not keep off balance. Alyssa Houston is just a special kind of talent that is out of this world. She was the difference in that ball game. Two home runs accounted for pretty much all of Benton's run production, and she pitched an amazing game. But that's the first time that I've gotten to see either of those teams play this year in person. And I'm going to tell you, no doubt in my mind that Benton's the best team in the state, hands down. And that Nashville is not very far off of them, maybe the second best team in the entire state. They are right in that conversation. They are very, very good.
I think this is their third game of the day, it's unreal. Yeah, I think – sorry to cut you off there, but I think Nashville, you can make the strong argument that they are a top five. I don't know that I'd put them over Cabot or Ben, Bryant. But I really think, and of course, Rogers, beat them up pretty good too. But I don't think it's crazy to say that they are a top five team overall in the state. I don't think it really at this point that that's nuts to say.
I have no doubt they're a top five team. And like I said, there's probably three, maybe four other teams right in that conversation. Of course, with Bentonville, Bryant, and Cabot, there's other teams that are right there in that conversation for who's the best. But in my mind, Benton is hands down the best team in the state, and Nashville is definitely a top five, maybe even a top three, overall in the state of Arkansas. Nashville has all of my respect for the way that they played. I mean, I loved watching Benton. Benton, I expected to walk in there and win that game by 8 or 10 runs, even though Nashville is really good. And seeing the kids – that are on Benton's team with Alyssa Houston and Gracie Redman and Lydia Batard. And I mean, they're just loaded.
Shelby Samples is maybe the best shortstop in the state. Not the best one of, pretty close.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you that I think it was Jasmine Wakefield that played shortstop for Nashville in that same game. She's got to be in that conversation for one of the best shortstops in the state, because she made three or four amazing plays against Benton the other night that I don't know. There was one ball at the middle. I have no idea how she got to it. She got the ball either at second or on the second base side of second on the run made a play at the base.
And I can't remember Nashville's center field, but I mean, she laid out there at you know what I'm talking about, in the sixth or seventh inning. It was late in the game and she got up and she was hurting and her left fielder was like, "Hey, come on, we need you. And she toughed it out, man. I mean, she stretched out for that ball and got it.
I think it was either Ashley Chambers or Madison Steele, and I don't remember which one was which out there, but they both made several fantastic plays.
Yeah, their defense. Yeah. That's what I talked to Coach Brown, and I texted briefly right after the game, and I was like, man, you guys got nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, your defense played great, and of course Macy looked really good on the mound, especially considering who they were playing. But I mean, really outside of not that Benton didn't play well or anything, but Alyssa Houston was what really did it in, and she's one of the that's what Coach Brown basically told me, is just like, Alyssa Houston happened, and she is just such a phenomenal player. If she's not playing at pitcher in the circle, then she's at third base and is really good at that too. So definitely,
she is a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah,
watching her pitch, what she throws, she puts every bit of her entire being into her pitch. I mean, she whips that ball, and she has great velocity. She has some great pitches, and then when she goes to the plate, you better throw something off the plate or off speed or away from her, because if you don't, it's going to land over the fence.
Yeah.
She hit two the other night to prove that point. I mean, she is amazing and a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. I definitely think these are going to be two teams that we see back in their respective classes for the state final. Certainly Benton at their home field. And then I definitely expect to see Nashville as well. So yeah, definitely a great weekend. I wish I could have been at the whole thing, but family comes first at the end of the day. And so I definitely don't regret that, but I'm just trying to hope and pray, Jared, that we get some ball in this week. I don't know that we're going to get much, if any, but we're just hoping and praying for it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, there's a lot of separator games this week. If we're able to get ball games in this week, there's a ton of games across the state in every class and every conference that are going to be the make or breaks that are going to decide who's going to be that 1, 2, 3 seed in each conference, who's going to win out. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a lot of good softball if we're able to play this week. The weather work has me worried. Of course, you know, my daughter's supposed to be playing 4 games this week, and
I'm not sure
that we're going to get maybe 1 or 2 of them in at best.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, I had so much fun getting to go watch Benton in Nashville the other night. I hope everybody can get some games in and watch some stuff. I'll tell you one thing that we didn't mention, I want to work them in real quick. I've been really impressed with Mena. Looking at the week they had Nashville this week. They didn't, you know, they got beat, but they played them tough. They beat Arkadelphia and beat Hope this week. I'm going to tell you, this Mena team overall is a young team, but they are playing tough, gritty softball. So you might want to keep an eye on them sneaking around too.
Yeah, that 4A7 conference is just absolutely brutal. We just talked about that Nashville and Bauxite, and of course, also too, Malvern is still in that mix. And then you look at Mena. DeQueen is not any kind of slouch whatsoever. I mean, I'm not saying that they're on Bauxite and Nashville and those levels, but definitely not a slouch. And so, it's definitely kind of like I've heard the football 4A7 be compared to the SEC West and football, and so I guess you could kind of have some sort of that compared from a softball standpoint.
But guys,
hopefully we'll get some softball in this week. But nonetheless, you can always listen to us, and you can read our content on scorebooklive.com under the Arkansas tab in the top left corner, or on Spotify. And also, too, if there's anything we're missing, please let us know, arprepextra@gmail.com, XTRA. We would love to hear from you. For Kevin Bohannon and Jared Hawthorne, I'm Kyle Sutherland. We will catch you next time.